Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Well, we're still in John 9, and we've told the story before, but the Pharisees wanted to hear it a second time from the man born blind. Not because they're all that excited about Jesus, far from it. They were excited all right, but not happy. They hated Jesus. So it's the second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. I'm going to do something I've never done in a sermon before. I'm going to take what the enemies of Jesus said and turn it into a positive, into a sermon. They said, they tell the blind man, give glory to God by telling the truth. Right on. Let's do it. Yeah, you got it, right? It shows the blindness. People can be so blind and think they're on the right path and be so off and so in the darkness, right? So we're going to talk about that. We go back to the theme real quick. To God be the glory. They want us to give God glory? Well, we're going to do that. Jesus did that. And we're going to take the negative words into a positive to be the theme for this message today. First of all, the word, and let's go to the next slide again. Okay. The word glory in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, means heaviness. Very heavy. Substantial. Weighty. And in the Greek, doxa, the word for glory, means brilliance and glory. And actually, the Hebrew word also means that too. And when Moses was with God, and God came close to him, and Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Which really was, show me your goodness. And the Lord, the God Almighty, El Shaddai, the Yahweh, showed Moses just a glimpse of his glory, because he would have died on the spot if God had shown the full light show of his glory, right? And so Moses saw part of it and basked in the light, the glory, the brightness, the radiance, the brilliance of God Himself in all His glory, which is where the Father is right now in heaven, right? In His inapproachable light, with thousands upon thousands of angels worshiping, glorifying Him, with the Son of God in His right hand, receiving honor and praise. And it will not be boring when we go to heaven. Some kids think, oh, it'll be boring. No, it will not be boring. It'll be the most exciting time of your life you've had on earth, times 10,000, 10 times billion. So that's the glory of God. And we are called to show God's glory. Jesus said, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. We are called to give glory to God. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So wherever we go, God's glory goes, because where does the Holy Spirit live now? He lives inside us, right? So we have the light of Jesus. We have the light of the Holy Spirit. We have the Father in us. We have Jesus in us. And then wherever we go, that light goes. The temple does not house the glory of God anymore. We do, which is pretty remarkable. And we need to remind ourselves of that. That we have the glory of God. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel it. I don't act it. I don't experience it. But other times, it is not. There's nothing like the glory of the Lord, right? And where did Jesus get His glory? From the cross, right? By humbling Himself on the cross, He was given the name that is above every single other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we give glory to God by His death on the cross and His triumphant resurrection. So we are called to God, give God glory. So we're going to do what the enemy said. We're going to give God the glory. There's a Christian group that has a devotional book and they just wrote. And it was on Caleb the other day. And I'm going to quote it. It's actually a paraphrase of Psalm 27. Light, space, zest, that's God. So with Him on my side, I'm fearless. Afraid of no one and nothing. When vandal hordes ride down, ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with Him in His house my whole life long. I'll contemplate His glorious beauty. I'll study at His feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway from the buzz of traffic. God holds me head and shoulders above all who try to pull me down. I'm headed for His place to offer anthems and praise that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I'm making music to God. Listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me. Answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking Him. Don't hide from me now. You've always been there, right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You've always kept the door open. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. Point me down your highway, God. Direct me along a well-lighted street. Show my enemies whose side you're on. Don't throw me to the dogs, those liars who are out to get me, filling the air with their threats. I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. So we want to give God the glory by how? By faith. By living in faith, right? We want to continue to walk by faith, to live by faith, no matter what's going on around us, right? We want to keep focus on Jesus Christ, which we give Him the honor and the praise and the glory. So as we look at this, the whole thing is the Pharisees are saying, give glory to God by telling the truth. And so this man did, right? He says, we know this man's a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. Oh, they know, right? Have you ever met people that are so sure of themselves and they're in error? They're in total error. And they just are so positive they're right. Well, that's the Pharisees here. They're just so positive. This man's a sinner. He can't be the Son of God. And the man who was healed of the blindness says, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. We all have a story to tell. We all have a witness. Bruce has one. But we all have one, right? We were this way, and now we're this way because of Jesus Christ. And it's all the glory goes to Him. He changes us, right? He transforms us, all of us. It's amazing what He's done in all of our lives as I look out. And He gets the glory. And so we're a walking testimony. We are called to be a witness. And I have a question. If a person is called to be a witness, do they have to be an expert? Is it just expert witnesses that are called to the stand? No. What is a witness' job on the stand? Tell what? The truth. And say and tell only what they know, what they've experienced. Not what somebody else says, that's hearsay. Not what they read somewhere. They want to know, what did you see? What did you hear? What was going on when you were there? And that's all witness needs to do. And the same way as a witness for Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a reverend doctor. Sometimes that gets in the way because they, oh, you're the paid salesman. But we speak as a satisfied customer. We say, this is what Jesus has done for me. So that's all we need to do as witnesses, is to tell people and show people, show and tell, show them, tell them what Jesus has done in your life. When someone's all upset, wondering where the world is going, what's going to happen, you can say, you know what? I know that God's in control. And He's been in my life in the past, and this is how He's been there for me in tough times, and He will not let me down, and He won't leave now. God's not going to abandon us, right? So we all have a witness. We all have a testimony. Well, the Pharisees said, then they asked Him, what did He do to you? How did He open your eyes? Does the blind man know how Jesus did it? Do we understand the how of miracles? How Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary? How? How was He raised from the dead? How? How did this happen? We don't need to know that, right? They don't need to know that. And so He says, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become His disciples? I love that, right? Oh, is that why? Hardly. They wanted to know the how. And they just couldn't. They had to figure out some other way than a miracle of God. There's got to be some other explanation, but there isn't any. And the world keeps looking for explanations, psychological reasons for people changing their lives. It can't be Jesus. Or people having after-death experiences and seeing Jesus. Well, it must be shortage of electrical impulses in the brain that cause it. There's always looking for some reason that explain away a miracle, explain away an angel, explain away whatever happened to us in a good way that Jesus did. There's got to be some other explanation. That's the atheist way, right? It can't be God. It's not that they can't believe, it's that they won't believe. This cannot be the answer. It can't be creation. It's got to be evolving over millions and billions of years. It's just not an accident. Wow, what a sad way to live, right? So we are called to give glory to God by witnessing, and we don't have to worry about the hows. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses." Well, hoop-dee-doo. You know, wow, we're so impressed with you. We know Moses. And they don't even know Moses, because Moses pointed to Jesus, right? The great prophet who was greater than Moses. Because Moses, remember, he prayed to God and God sent all the manna. What did Jesus do? Jesus says, "I am the manna. I am the bread of life." And so it was all showing that Jesus was the greatest prophet, not Moses. Moses was leading to Jesus. Elijah leading to Jesus. Elisha leading to Jesus. Isaiah leading to Jesus. Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all. John the Baptist leading to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about Him. Not anybody else. Not any other religious leader. Any other prophet. He is God and He is Lord. And He is the Savior and the one and only Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He says that, and He has the right to say it because He's God, right? Amen is right, yeah. So, and then they said, "We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Well, they thought they knew, they had it all figured out. This guy's from Galilee. The Bible says he has to be born from Bethlehem. Well, duh, why do you think he was there for the census in Bethlehem? He was in Bethlehem. They had it all figured out. They said, "We know where this feller came from, and it ain't from God. We're so positive of it that it can't be the truth." Well, obviously it was. And the man who was born blind and was healed said, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does His will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Amen, brother, right? This guy's not educated. He's not a theologian. And he tells all, he's getting kind of exasperated. So, "Look, I've already told you this a few times. Do you want to be a disciple?" "No." "Well, what's your problem? You know, what's your beef here? How come you're so crabby and so unbelieving? And Get a life in God. Maybe you'll have something to live for, you know, except for religious rules and regulations." And it's well said by the guy. He says, "Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If he weren't from God, he could do nothing." Amen. But he is God, so he can do everything, right? All things are possible for him who believeth. Nothing is impossible for God. And we just sang them. Weren't those songs great? Songs turning graves into gardens, rolling stones, rise up, right? Nothing's impossible to God. He turns things around, bones to life. That's what Jesus Christ does. And here the unbelievers then and today will do all they can to try to discredit what God has done in Jesus Christ, right? What He's still doing today. And yet, Jesus opens the man who opens his eyes to see. Nikki Gumbel, he's the speaker of the Alpha Course. We've done the Alpha Courses here several times. And he talks about they had a healing service, sort of like we have. And there was a man who could not see, and his eyes were deteriorating, and they were getting worse and worse and worse. And they prayed, and the man got his sight totally restored. There's a pastor who talked about going to Africa, and he was praying. And it was Pastor Daniel, who was a pastor in Africa, and he was talking about the fact that some witch doctors in the area came over, and they were going to put Daniel and his church members to the test. And they brought in front of him a lady who didn't have an eyeball that was working, and I think she didn't even have one. And they said, okay, if you are from God, heal this woman or else you're going to be in trouble. And the first thing the praise team did was they left. They left the pastor by himself. They said, we're out of here, pastor. You do the praying, we do the singing, we're out of here. So he's here all by himself. And he prays, and he was scared. And God healed that lady's eyeball right in front of everybody. And the witch doctors became Christians, became believers. So God still does it today. He didn't just do it then. He did it then, and He does it now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? We believe that. And to God be the glory, right? So we want to give glory to God, and I'm so glad that Pastor Rick, all the time, what does he say when you say, nice job, Pastor, good job? Thanks be to God. God be the glory. And many composers who were Christians centuries ago, when they'd write musical masterpieces, would write at the end, Solo Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. They did it for Him, not for themselves, right? Did it for Him. And when we live our lives, we are called to live for who? We have a purpose in life, and it's not our purpose, right? It's not about us. We have a purpose, every one of us. And please believe that. Whether you're young or old, God has a destiny and a purpose for you. And despite COVID and everything else that's going on, God's will be done in your life and in my life and in this church's life. Into the future, God's hand is upon us. Thanks be to God for that, right? So we give glory to the Lord. And we've talked about this text now for a while, and one more Sunday we'll have on that. But how can we give God glory? With all that's going on in our world today, I like what Pastor Rick said last week in the middle of all this craziness in our world. Remember, he said two things. Pray and love. Pray for our nation, for our world, and love people. And maybe the world needs to hear this again in our country, that we're called to love. Let's try this on Facebook, everybody. Love your enemies. What a novel concept in our world today, right? Love your enemies. Love all people to Christ, not certain people. We are called to love all people to Christ. And the Bible talks about being ready for battle. Spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. So we're called to keep our armor on, right? All the time, and keep putting that armor on with love and with prayer, right? So we're equipped for whatever the devil throws at us, right? And before we close, I wanted to read a prayer. I've got two things actually I want to read from both my phones here. One is, first of all, from Carolina, who is our translator and in our Spanish service. She said, "Hi, Pastor, this is Carolina. I wanted to share with you what I had written on my notes when we studied John 9 a couple weeks ago. I wrote, 'When we are blind and notice the blessings and miracles we get each day, or we're just blinded by society, problems, negativity, etc., God gives us mud to wash our eyes. When we stay in His Word, His Word is the water we wash away the mud, adversities, health problems, etc. And when we wash our eyes, that is our soul, with the Word of God, we get to see and feel all His love and all the good that He offers. Hope this makes sense.'" And I go, "Yes, sister. Amen. It makes sense, right? It sure does." And she said the best thing that happened to her was getting COVID, because it made her trust even more in God. So thanks be to God that in the middle of COVID, she saw God's hand at work. And she sees, and she does. She sees spiritually now even better than before. She experiences more of God than ever before. And she was a walking testimony. The other is, my other phone, I have a prayer from Bridge Builders about all that's going on in our nation and our world that I wanted to pray as part of the sermon, not what we have it cut off or it's not part of the message. "Dear God and Lord of heaven and earth, we come before You and ask for mercy for Your people and for the United States of America. Forgive our sins of pride and division and heal our land. We speak Your shalom, Your peace over the nation, and pray that any protest would be peaceful and that every plan to bring chaos and violence would be exposed and thwarted. We pray Your promises in Psalm 91 over the U.S. Capitol and every state capitol building. We ask You to release Your angelic hosts to defend and protect them. We pray there will be no loss of life or property. We ask that the spiritual atmosphere over our nation would shift, even as Jesus spoke to the storm. We declare, 'Peace, be still.' We lift before You all of our courageous first responders. Give them good intel, wisdom, and keen discernment that they carry out their duties. Protect them and keep them safe, and help them to stay calm, level-headed, and skillful in every situation they encounter. We pray for those in authority in our government and ask that You would make wise, that they would make wise decisions for the good of the people, to the end that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. O Lord, we pray that we as believers would commit to be agents of reconciliation and ambassadors of Christ to our nation. May we arise and shine in this hour as we represent You to the nation and the world, as in Isaiah 60, verse 1. And amen and amen, we say to that, right? So we're called to be a light in a very dark world, right? We are called to bring love in a world of hate. The love of Jesus. Jesus calls us to be His light, to be His ambassadors. When the disciples, and when they had an awful situation, when they had a very wicked emperor, when the Apostle Paul was jailed at the time of Nero, and they had zealots clamoring to kill people, what was the disciples, what was their main mission? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." And when all those people came together in Pentecost and they heard the disciples speaking in different languages, all their different languages at the same time, they had this assembly of people who came to Christ. Many of them, thousands came to Christ. Because the light of God was there, the Holy Spirit was there, and the Word of God was explained, was preached. And where the Word of God is, there's where God is, right? He speaks through His Word today, right? So what Word is God speaking to you today? What do you think God is saying to you?
Have peace. Know that I'm here.
Amen. Have peace. Know that I'm here.
Spread
love, His love, right? Not our love, His love, but we love others through His love. Amen.
Stand firm in the faith.
Stand firm in the faith. Keep that armor on, right?
Put Him first.
Put Him first.
Speak truth.
Speak truth, yes. Like they said in the text here, speak the truth, but giving glory and putting Him first. To Him be the glory, right? He is the King of Kings. What does it mean that He's Lord? He's Master of everything. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And we worship Him, exalt Him. Anybody else? What is God saying to you?
Have no fear.
Don't hear that in the news, do you? Boy. Caleb had a really good devotion about that the other day. That, you know, turn off the news and turn on a tape with the Bible or read the Bible. Listen to God more. He's got a word for us, right? He's got a good word. A good word. The word gospel means good news. Did you know that? It's good news. The good news is still here. Jesus Christ is here. And Jesus Christ came, and what did the angels say? For I give you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For you, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then angels came in and said, glory to God on the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That message isn't just on December 25th. It's there for January, February, August, into the next December. And to God be the glory. May we shine His light like never before and share His love like never before in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we pray. Father, we fall down before You. We say, to You be the glory. To You be the honor. All power and blessings come go to You, Father. You are the beautiful one. The magnificent one. There was no one like You. Thank You, Lord, for who You are, with Your mercy, Your love, Your kindness, Your goodness, Your gentleness, Your faithfulness, Your patience toward us. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us by sending Jesus to be our Savior and rise from the dead after paying for our sins. Thank You for the many, many, many blessings You've given us. Forgive us for taking for granted our nation. And so many things. Just turning on the faucet and having water. Turning on a switch and having light. We thank You, Lord, for the many things we have in our world that we just take for granted. And we thank You, God. We ask for peace in our nation, in this world. We ask for more love, Your love. We ask, Lord, that Your church rise up like never before. And we pray for that extreme revival. Extreme revival. In the middle of darkness, Your dazzling light of the gospel would shine forth and there'd be more people being lit up with Jesus than ever before, young and old. Lord, we pray for those that are nursing homes and assisted living and cannot go out. We pray for those that listen to this online and can't come to church. Lord, we pray for those that have been abducted in sexual traffic and slavery all over the world. We ask that You be with them and release them. We pray for those that have cancer that are in the hospital, especially children with cancer in children's hospital, that You be with them. We pray, Lord, that You be with the homeless, the hurting, the addicted. We pray, Lord, You be with those that are contemplating suicide right now, that are feeling hopeless and dark in their lives. We pray, Lord, that You be with this church and other churches that proclaim Your word. That we lift up You, Jesus. And until You come again, Lord, may we keep looking up to You and not looking down or around. We look up. Lift up our heads, Holy Spirit. Lift up our heads. Send Your angels to be with us in this world. And we pray this all, Lord, in Your mercy. And Lord, we not only ask for things, we thank and praise You for what You are doing, Lord. For the miracles You've done in our lives. For everyone here and the story that You have in each one of us of changing us. That we are all, at one time, were blind. But now by Your grace we see. At one time we were addicted, but now we're set free. At one time we were enslaved, but now we're with freedom. But one time we were depressed and were hopeless, but now we have hope. At one time we were lifeless and now we have life. At one time we were sad and now we're joyful. At one time we were fearful and now we're full of faith. And we thank You, Lord. All that You've done will continue to do. We'll give You honor, praise, and glory Because we know, Lord, that the devil is allergic to worship. And we fight best when we worship. We fight through worship as we worship You, Lord. And we ask that You come with Your holy army of angels, Lord. And that You defeat the evil one and the evil spirits and the demons around us with Your power, Lord, and your Word. As we use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And keep us holding on to that shield of faith. And help us to hold up the shield of faith to others around us as well. And we pray this all in the wonderful name, the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.